So the epistle for the feast of the Holy Family is taken from Colossians chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so do you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel is taken from Luke chapter 2. When Jesus was 12 years old, they going up into Jerusalem according to the custom of the feasts, and having fulfilled the days when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came to a day's journey and sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers, and seeing him they wondered. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these words in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and men. Please be seated. Quam delecta tabernacula tua. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With today's Mass, we have the Feast of the Holy Family. This is an important feast for us because it illustrates the importance that the family plays in the education of your children, the importance of the family, and it plays in our sanctification each day. And so we know that obviously the family is an importance. We know that that is the family that prays together, stays together. All these different things maybe we have heard and we've seen, and we understand the importance of this. But I think also then for us to consider these points is a great help to us. In the introit, it talks about how lovely are thy tabernacles. And that is what I quoted for you at the very beginning. Meaning how the family is this tabernacle or this temple of Almighty God. And how important that is in our modern life, how much more so, I would say, in our modern life because of how much society will attack that, how much the modern world will attack this basic unit of society, which is the family. It's attacked in many different ways. And I think for us, we have to guard that because it is this temple of God. It is something that should be very important to us as we see in the formation of our families and the spiritual progress that our families make, of showing just how important the family is for us. And so as I say, clearly the church gives us this understanding because it makes a feast day in commemoration of that. And so it shows to us how important it sees the family as the basic unit of society. Of calling it, you know, how lovely are thy tabernacles, of showing then that the family is this temple, this sacred place that should be, that a haven for the family to go to. Because I think all of you would probably know better than I even, of being out and having to live in this modern world, of how then you should consider of how important your family going home to it would be for you. Maybe you fathers of families, of having to work out in the world and being soaked in the world and then coming home to your family. It should be then this haven for you. Or then just any of us having to go out in the world. Maybe women, the mothers going out and to shop and seeing how the world is. And so they should be able to retreat back to their home and see it out how important it is for them. And that is how we must try to form our families and form the home itself, that it must be then this sacred place for us. And obviously we have the church on Sundays to go to retreat to. But your family life should be the same way, because it should be based on something that is spiritual. It should be something that is a help to the formation of your children, the education of them. And so therefore, it should be something that is a help to them to get to heaven, not a hindrance. You know, God forbid if, unfortunately, our families is a hindrance to our sanctification. It is not meant to be that. And granted, all families, we will have our crosses and our trials, and even sometimes our family members can be our crosses and trials too. But these are means then to help us to sanctify our soul. And that is what it must be for our lives. And so when the church gives us this as a feast day, one, obviously it gives the Holy Family as an example to us. And that should be easy for us to see, that the Holy Family is this example. St. Joseph in his obedience of having to take the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Christ child out to go to Egypt on a moment's notice, his obedience to divine providence. We also see with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the humility that she had, taking all of these things in her heart to contemplate, to think about, whether it was the prophecies about her son, the prophecies about her that we saw the Sunday within the octave of Christmas, or then even today when she asks our Lord, you know, didn't you know that we were searching for you and that you left us sorrowing? And his answer to her of saying that, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? And so it says that the Blessed Virgin Mary kept all of these things in her heart. And then obviously we see with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, and yet he goes back out of obedience and lives with the Holy Family until it is his time to have his public life. And so granted, it gives to us the idea, these virtues that we must practice. And I think also from that we have to understand that in our spiritual lives, it is not just enough to avoid sin. We must try to practice virtue. It is not enough for us just to think that we're going to get to heaven if we just hope to avoid sin. We must be working continuously throughout our lives and trying to progress in the spiritual life, to progress in the virtues that God expects us to practice, that God gives to us in these examples to take from that. And so for this feast day it is something that is very easy for us to see, the example of the virtues that are practiced by the Holy Family, to put that up for us as a model. And clearly to show that, yes, this is the model family for us. And granted, for us, we will fall short of that. But still, that is what we must strive for. That is what we must try to put to practice in our lives. These virtues that they show to us. But as I mentioned to you, how the world will attack that. It attacks the family at its very roots as the basic unit of society and tries to destroy that. And how does it do that? It destroys it by promoting the independence. Independence, whether for the children, from their parents, or trying to give them this independence very early in life, too early, that they are not formed well enough or mature enough to handle then that independence. But yet the world gives that to them, that they must have this, and if not, well, then there's a problem. And so from that, that is one of the things that it does. They leave the security of the home too quickly. But then also, it calls into question the basic unit itself. The family is the basic unit of society. And so by calling into question that, it destroys it at its very foundation. And I think that is what, as Catholic families, you must try to see, of keeping together that basic unit, of fortifying it, and you fortify it by your faith. You fortify it by being able to give to your children, to hand down to them the faith that they should have. And if not, that is what is going wrong. Because if you're not able to give to your children this handing down of the faith that has been given to you, well, then they won't have anything to hold on to. And so when the world calls them, they will follow. When the world pulls them, they will naturally gravitate toward that. But if on the contrary, if they see the importance in their faith, and their faith being the most important thing in their lives, well, that will be what will stabilize them against the world. Because too often, I mean, as being a priest now in my 9th year and working with families and children and different things, there's always that question of why do children lose the faith? You know, why is it? Why is it that some, they live their lives, they go to the Catholic schools, different things, and then soon after that, they never practice again? And so granted, it would be nice if we had an answer to that. It'd be nice if we were able to fortify that before it were to happen. But very clearly, it is the world that is drawing them. But why do they give in to the world? That is the main question. And as I say, it would be nice if we had a true answer to that. Because then we could fortify our children before that happens. But that is what we are supposed to be doing in the families, and obviously in the schools too. We all have a part in this. And I would say we all have a responsibility in this too. But if we don't give our children the understanding of how important the faith is, they will leave. Because they will do it long enough that they have to, and then when they don't have to any longer, when they feel they're adults, then they will walk out. Walk out to possibly never return again. And that is what we are fighting. And so granted, we can look at this feast day and seeing the virtues that we must practice. We must see the example that the Holy Family gives to us. But I say more importantly, at this point, we need to look at and see to the very root is what is wrong with the families. Families in general. You know, what is the problem? Why do they break up? Why do the children leave after a while? And one time, I had given the analogy, as a priest, this is how it is almost viewed. And I gave the analogy on this feast day, that's why I bring it up again, because I do think it gives us something to think about. But as a priest, we instruct, we give the faith to the faithful. And more specifically, what I say with our young adults, as you try to give them the faith, I likened it to being out in an ocean. And you can have the understanding of all the children around a boat, the priest is in the boat. And so he sees them sinking. And obviously as a priest, we want to help souls. God willing, we'll do anything to try to help a soul. And so we have lifesavers to give to them as they're sinking. And it is the lifesaver of the faith. And so as you throw it to them, as you toss it to them, there are some that gravitate toward it, try to swim toward it, to try to hold on to it. They hold on to that lifesaver of the faith. But as a priest, sometimes you seem that you throw the lifesaver of the faith out to them, and if anything, they swim away from it. And so you give to them that opportunity to hold on, to save them from sinking. Sinking, we can say, out in the world. And as a priest, as I say to you, it is something that you want to do whatever you can to help those souls, that you will do whatever you can. Obviously, at that point, you can't sink yourself. So maybe you extend yourself as far as you can off of the boat. Maybe it's more dangerous for if the priest can't swim either. But he tries to extend himself as far as he can to give to them, to try to hold on and to reach out and to call to them. Hold on to this. This is what you need. And they basically turn a deaf ear. That they don't listen to it. They don't hear. And so they continue sinking. So I give to you that analogy as a priest. This is sometimes what we see. Whether it's giving sermons, whether it's giving conferences, teaching even, that you can have that. That yet, maybe the young adult is listening to you politely, maybe even nodding or showing that they agree, but then they don't live up to it. They don't live that lifestyle. And you see that. And so as a priest, that is something that is very hard. And obviously, understandably, you parents, it's the same way for you. Because maybe you have done the same, given all you can for your children, given them the faith, held it out to them, and they turn a deaf ear. And so we go back to ask the question, why? As I say, it is a responsibility all of us have, to wonder and question and see, are we doing what we can for them? Are we giving them to understand the importance of the faith? And granted, it is an age-old question. Human nature is human nature. And it is the mystery of, we can say, iniquity, the mystery of sin. While some people accept it, some people don't. Some people maybe act like it, some people even don't even do that. But in some ways, that's probably easier. It is easier if, say, you see that they don't really care. Rather than one that gives the impression that, well, yes, they care. But inside, they're not living that life. It is the danger of being a facade, a fake appearance. And so that is something that, as priests, we can be fooled too. We can definitely be fooled with that because we are human too. Granted, in the confessional, the Holy Ghost is inspiring the priest, God willing. The priest listens to that inspiration and tries to help souls. But a soul can come in and try to deceive. Just as any of us can try to deceive the ones around us, our loved ones. And so I would say when we consider this feast day, when we consider the Holy Family, yes, we can look at the positive side to it, clearly of seeing the example that the Holy Family gives to us. And that is very important for us to follow. By no means am I saying it is not. But I think, in a way, we know what we should be doing. It is the hard thing of doing it. It is the difficulty of putting it into practice at this point. And so therefore, to consider then the dangers and the difficulties that are out there, I think that is also something that we must consider, that we must examine in our own lives, And as I say, especially for the families, and especially as teachers too, because we play a role and we play a part in that, of giving to them the understanding of how important their faith is for their lives. Because if not, they will not have that safeguard to hold on to. If not, when the world calls and draws them, they will gravitate toward it very easily. I think for any of us, we can see how appealing the world can be at times, because it's easier. The world tells us to gratify ourselves, so it goes just alongside of human nature. But if we understand that and we see the danger that is there, then at this point we must try to fortify our lives by the sacraments, by the different groups, the organizations. When I talked to you about Holy Name, yesterday I had a luncheon with the Altar and Rosary. And you see the efforts that are being made. These efforts that are trying to sanctify our souls. Because you will not be able to do it just by walking in the church and that's it. In that sense, there's nothing magical about just coming here and that's it. You've got to live the life. And so when we see the Feast of the Holy Family, it gives to us the model to follow, yes. But I think it also shows to us the warnings that are there. The warnings and the difficulties that we must try to fortify our families for. And so therefore, we must try to put that into practice. And as I say, maybe this is how I view things, but it's sometimes how you view it. I've seen them sinking into, we can say, the sins of the world, the muck of the world. And you reach out to them, and it's almost like they paddle away from you. And as much as you call and much as you scream and say, and my students know I can scream, as much as you call out to them, they still don't seem like they hear you. And that is that deafness to the world, the deafness to God's call. And so that is something that we must try to work on. And that is something in general. It is something that I think is something good for us to consider. To consider for our families. Because how many families have asked that question, why? Why, when we had given them so much, and they had Catholic schools, they had all this education, they had all of these things, why all of a sudden do they give up? And as a priest, I mean, unless you know the children, you know the family very, very well, it's very hard to be able to give them just an answer to that. I mean, granted, it's easy just to say free will. But that's not an answer to for them. And so therefore, take advantage of this feast day. Take advantage of this feast day to pray for our families. We are one big family itself. To pray for each other. But then to pray for your families and to sacrifice for your families. The last thing we need to do is just to completely cater and pamper our children. It's the last thing we need. To give them an understanding of sacrifice is always good. Because the little sacrifices that they're asked of as they're growing up, as they continue to grow up, if God asks them the greater sacrifice of giving of their life to Him, it will be easier for them to do so. But if not, if we've just constantly pampered our children throughout their entire lives, good luck. I would say you have created a monster. And so that is what is dangerous for us. And that is why we must instruct our children now. Help our children now to see the importance that the faith plays in their lives. Because if not, it will be the same question. Why? Why does it happen? And so as I say, pray to the Holy Family. Take advantage of this. Come to the creche where we have the Holy Family for us. God wants us to ask for the graces that we need. He is willing to grant them to us, but we must ask. Ask and you shall receive. And so take advantage of what the church has to offer. Granted, some may say that there's so many different organizations, I don't know which one to join. They will all have a benefit for your soul. And so it is something important for you to consider. Because as I say, just by coming into the church, you're not going to save your soul. You must practice your faith. You must live your faith each and every day in order to save your soul. Because the world is strong. Again, using the analogy of being like in an ocean or different things, once the tide gets going, it will draw you and pull you. And unless you're strong enough and fortified enough, you'll be drawn the way of the world. And that is something that we must not. So therefore, we must see the family as a safe haven for us. It must be something that all the members of the family, when they come home, they are relieved to be home. Because they see it as a safe place for them. And so as I say, pray to the Holy Family and beg for these graces. And pray that your family is, as it says in the introit, a lovely tabernacle. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.